Coming from the backwoods of New Jersey, welcome to the Jersey Guys Music Podcast, where we feature in-depth music discussions and interviews with special guests from the worlds of hard rock, heavy metal, and AOR music. So settle in and crank it up. Now, here are your hosts, the Jersey Guys themselves, Tom and Mark.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to a new episode of the Jersey Guys podcast. I'm Mark, here with my co-host Tom, as usual. And joining us today all the way from Sweden is a singer, songwriter, who's had a long career. We're going to talk about all that stuff, but please welcome Pete Sandberg. Pete, how are you?
Thank you very much, guys. Nice to be here.
Thank you. Thanks for taking some time to talk with us today.
Yes, of course. My pleasure.
Thank you. One of the things we do on our podcast, and I mentioned to you a few minutes ago before we started, but we kind of like to cover an artist's whole career. So in that, you know, sort of spirit, we're going to start with kind of the earlier stuff you've done, go along the way, and we're going to end up with, of course, the brand new Mad Invasion album that just came out last month. We're going to talk about that band. But I guess maybe Tom could start it off with some of the earlier things in your career.
Yes.
Well, my first early exposure to your voice was, I know you were involved with the band Madison.
That's correct.
And I think Goran Edmond was involved with the band also. Yeah. And also a band called Von Rosen, which I actually had the vinyl of that Mark was able to convert to CD for me.
The little seven-inch singles, right?
Yeah.
So if you could tell us a little bit about that early period of Madison and Von Rosen, because I think that's really was everybody's exposure to you, initial exposure to you, your voice.
Well, Von Rosen was my first band with we got a record deal, and it was Magnus Rosen from Hammerfall. He started a lot of stuff, you know. So we recorded two albums, and it was great, you know. We were out touring in Europe and stuff, and Magnus got a job with other bands, of course, and then I kind of lost my co-partner in that band. It's kind of like Daryl Hall and John Oates, you know. I kind of lost Magnus, you know, to other bands and other projects. So and then Ola Håkansson from Sonet Records called me up because Göran Edman has just quit the band Madison, and there was an open slot. So they asked me if I wanted to join Madison as a lead singer. And of course, you know, I was without a band, you know, Von Rosen was kind of split up, basically. So of course, I joined Madison and recorded an album, Northern Light. Yeah, that's right, Tom.
Now, the Von Rosen material, we at least me and Mark, we have four tracks of it. Were there full albums of that weren't released?
There was a full album, but it was never released because the band kind of split up before the album release date. Yeah.
Oh wow.
So we was just the two singles actually.
So after all these years, nobody with all the releases you have, nobody has approached you about trying to get that album released.
I think that the record owner wants one of us to pass away or something. You know, he releases after you know, like Mozart and Chopin. I don't know. You know. I actually don't know in the business side of it, but you know, he's sitting on the rights of the album. He doesn't want to release it. So I don't know what's going on with that. That's a shame because it was a great album, actually.
Yeah, well, those singles that were out were really good.
And it was Mats Olausson from Yngwie on keyboard. Second album, yeah. So the album was wicked, basically. But, you know, business is business. He's sitting on the right. So there's nothing I can do about that. So sad to say, you know.
So somebody other than you and Magnus own the rights to that album?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. The record company. Yeah.
The record company. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Makes sense now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
So then I realized that you ended up in Alien, which, just to go back a little bit, Alien, that debut record in the AOR circles, had got a huge buzz. And when the second album came out, to go back to what my remembrance was at the time, I was already familiar with with who you are. I think a lot of people weren't. A lot of people were disappointed that Jahed wasn't in the band anymore.
No.
But when I heard the album, I actually liked the second album even better than the first album. And
you're
I,
my fucking favorite, Tom.
Hey, listen, I told Jahed this too. So.
You're my favorite, Tom. That's for sure.
I absolutely adored that album. I thought the songwriting on that album was great, and I like the fact that it got a little bit more rock. It was a little more heavy,
and we took a step away from the AOR concept, right. Basically. Tommy wanted to go a little bit more to Blackmoor, a little bit more to Burn, Stormbringer, stuff like that, right. You know, a little bit sidetracked from the AOR, which was the debut album.
Yeah, I mean, there were some great songs on that. Stranger in a Strange Land, Hold On, Move On. It had some great stuff. So if you could tell us how you got into Alien and that, the whole process of the making of that album.
Yeah, well, like I said, Jim, he quit the band. He wanted to do something else, some solo work and stuff, you know, and there was a slot open, so... Tony Borg called me and asked me, because he knew me from Von Rosen and Madison, of course, in Gothenburg, you know. Sweden is a small country. It's only 8 million people. So all of us hard rockers, it's a small community, yeah?
Yeah.
So Tony called me up and said, hey, do you want to join Alien? Yes, of course. And then he kind of wanted to do like a duo concept, you know, not the AUR stuff. And the other guys in the band wanted to continue doing AUR stuff. Mm. So he kind of basically fired the other guys from the band, and it was just me and Tony who did Shift in Gear. Mm. And we wrote the song. I have recently become a father, and Tony had also recently become a father. So and when the kids were sleeping in the nighttime, we were writing songs at Tony's apartment and his wife's house, basically. So that's how the album came about. It was just me and Tony, two acoustic guitars, and that's how we wrote the whole Chieftain Gear album, all away from the AUR concept that we were both used to, like Journey, Foreigner, Survivor, stuff like that, you know. And we totally scratched that big time, and we started listening to, you know, old Burn albums, Deep Purple, Uriah Heep, Bad Company. And that's how we got influenced to do this. Mm-hmm. That's why Shifting Gear is a little bit different from the AOR.
Oh, yeah. I think it was more in line with like what Europe and Treat were doing. Like,
yeah, except Europe and Treat, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. In the line, which two fabulous bands.
Well, you were, I know Tony Borg was a big Richie Blackmore, Deep Purple guy. Were you also?
No, not at all. I love Richie Blackmore's songwriting. I hate his guitar solos. A million people disagree with me, but you know, I love the way he writes songs, like Man on the Silver Mountain, you know, all the stuff, fantastic stuff he's done, you know. But I was never a Deep Purple fan until David Coverdale and Glenn Hughes joined the band.
Okay.
Gillan was awesome, of course, yeah. But that's when it was something new with two lead singers like Gillan, Coverdale, and Blackmore's awesome riffs.
Yes.
So that's about it, you know. About Deep Purple for me, you know.
Yeah.
Did you like the Deep Purple album with Tommy Bolin?
I loved it, you know.
Me too.
Come Taste the Band, you know.
Me too.
Burn, Stormbringer. Awesome. I also have a lot of Tommy's solo albums.
Yeah, me as well.
That's the guitar player and singer, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was a big fan, awesome. A big Tommy Bolin.
Awesome. Fan. Yeah, me too.
So that only lasted one album and with you. Why was it as good of an album as it was? Why did it only last the one album?
Yeah, because at the Tony moved up to Stockholm, you know, I was traveling back and forth from Gothenburg, which I was living in at that time, you know, and stuff. And then I got a deal with a band called Sin City. We didn't actually do an album. We got a demo deal on RCA called Sin City, the band. So I got that job in the States. And I went there for a year and a half, I think, maybe close to 2 years. So I wanted to take a chance on doing that, you know, going back to the States and see what happens, you know. Nothing happened, of course, but we worked our asses off and we had a great time. Wow. So that's why I quit Alien.
Now, is this Sin City another unreleased jewel that's sitting out there?
Yeah, it's an unreleased jewel. And it was Jeff Scott Soto was doing the harmony vocals.
Really?
Jeff, you know, yeah. And we had a demo deal with RCA, Leslie Lewis AOR at the time. And we got paid to work. We had apartments and we wrote some songs. We had a good time. We partied and we had a good time. But it didn't pan out, basically.
Right.
Hmm. Who else was involved with the band?
There's some Swedish dudes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And a couple of guys from Philadelphia as well, then.
Hmm. Now, if my... finish.
Water under the bridge, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was a lot of party in those days.
I bet.
Yeah.
Now, if my timeline is right, you cut an album with B-Warp, which was that.
Yeah, B-Warp, yeah.
Which was their second album. He had done an album before that.
Yeah.
With a.
Bobby.
Yeah, kind of a questionable singer. I guess he woke up and got a proper singer to do the second album, which I liked that album a lot. What was all about, that project?
It was just a hit and run, basically. He wanted to, he had a record deal for two albums. First one with Bobby on the vocals, and second one he had to finish, you know. And so he asked me to join Dick B-Warp, the guitar player. So we finished up the album, but it was supposed to be only two albums on the contract, you know, because Dick went on to the Dick B-Warp, the founder of the band, he went on to work on in TV and, you know, videos and stuff like that, you know. So it was just an album. He needed to finish, basically.
Oh, okay. I always wonder what happened to him.
He's working in Swedish television.
Okay.
He's a host and hosts a lot of shows and stuff in Swedish television. Yeah. So he's not into music anymore.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
So you were also in a project called Sand and Gold.
Yep.
Which was a very interesting project. If you could tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. I hooked up with he's a good friend of mine. Jonas Reingold, the bass player, and he wanted to do something more like Eagles, Bob Seger and the Silver Bullet Band, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, Springsteen, and he was kind of off, you know, because I'm a hard rock singer, you know, and I always listen to hard rock, and I wasn't familiar with all these bands, so he gave me a bunch of CDs. Check out this album with Bob Seger. Check out this with Springsteen. Check out this with Eagles. And I was blown away. It was a treasure, you know. Hmm. It opened my eyes on American music, basically, you know. And I said, hell yeah, let's do it. So that's how that album came about, you know, because it's not hard rock at all.
No, it's very West Coast.
No, not at all. Yeah,
it sounds
not
like West Coast AOR. That's what it sounds like.
And it's a little bit Mötley Hoople, it's a little bit Eagles, a little bit Electric Light Orchestra. Mm. We had Symphony Orchestra on the album. We had, you know, a lot of different stuff, Lap Steel and stuff like that. I was blown away. I enjoyed that album big time to record.
That's a terrific album.
Yeah,
it's a great album. Yeah, it's a great album.
I have a solo album by him. He's really good, terrific bass player too.
Yeah, Jonas, he's working with a lot of progressive rock bands, you know, like Flower Kings, Kaipa. He's working now with the guitar player from Genesis, touring with him and really? Stuff like that. Yeah. So Jonas is a big name in the progressive rock.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, big time, big time.
Wow.
Now, you did another album with him called Opus Atlantica.
Yeah.
That was a little different style.
Yeah, it was. We were kind of talking about, you know, from Finland, there was a lot of band who made this, how should I put it, very fast, hard rock, epic stuff with harmony vocals, big, fat sound and stuff. And so we wanted to do an album like that. And then we hooked up and wrote some songs together and we recorded Opus Atlantica, the album, yeah.
So you've kind of had this career where you've dabbled in metal. Like, we'll get into Midnight Sun, yeah, and also more melodic,
yeah,
AOR stuff, like related to your solo album. So you have you have an equal love for both of those genres?
Yeah. The older I get, the more I want it to be more heavy and harder, of course.
It seems that way, yes.
Yeah, the older I get, I kind of leaned towards that. But when I was a young kid, you know, I started out, of course, I love Journey, Survivor, all these bands, you know, AOR, basically, it was awesome. But the older I get, the more heavy I want it, Judas Priest, you know, stuff like that. The older I get.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because Tom and I were talking about this. Your voice has definitely evolved too, whereas mm-hmm. back early on, much higher pitched, higher mm-hmm. end, and now it's more
nitty-gritty,
throaty, grittier. Yeah, but it's...
Yeah, exactly. You're totally right, you know.
Yeah.
I can still hit the high notes, but I don't want to do it anymore. It's a young man's game, you know,
right.
The high notes.
Yes, it is. It is.
Yeah.
Now, the Midnight Sun stuff, definitely you went into that vein of more metal sound.
Yeah, exactly.
Was that kind of where the music was going? Because there was a lot, I was buying a lot of like these hard rock metal German bands and mm-hmm. symphonic metal bands like, mm-hmm. Symphony X was doing that here.
Symphony X, for example, yeah.
They were doing that here, and there was a lot of bands in Finland that were doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Were you structuring your sound and your direction because that stuff had really become popular, especially in Japan?
Yep. Mm. I can say honestly, yes. We totally joined the bandwagon on that one. Me and Jonas, because me and Jonas wrote the songs and did Midnight Sun. You know, we had some guest artists, John Norum, playing a couple of solos, Kim Marcello playing a couple of solos and stuff like that, you know. Hempo from Old Trash playing drums on the second album and stuff. Definitely. We wanted to join the bandwagon and of course we went to Japan, did the tour, mm-hmm. a couple of tours as well, you know. So we made some money. Mm. We made some good money.
Yeah, that was, in fact, I had said that to Mark before we went on the air. I always felt as a fan that followed your music,
mm-hmm.
that the Japanese seemed to always be very centered in on anything you did. You know, you always got Japanese deals, you got bonus, you know, they put up bonus tracks and stuff.
Yeah.
Did you have a good career with all of this stuff through the years with Japan releases?
Yeah. And Japan has been a big market for me all in many years, you know. I can't say that I'm a household name, but I have a good name in Japan and I have good credibility. And all my albums has always been well received in Japan.
Mm.
Yeah.
So would you say the Midnight Sun stuff was kind of like you were looking to go more like in a direction of like what Stradivarius were doing and
bands of
that time? Because that's what I heard. Yeah.
Exactly. You're spot on, Tom. You're spot on.
Well, since I'm spot on, I'm going to keep going. So maybe I'll
when
I end up fucking up, you could tell me.
Yeah, I will. I will.
Going back to the Japanese stuff. Do you think the Alien Shifting Gear album is what kind of got you noticed in Japan? Like, what do you think was your stepping stone that you had such a good career in Japan for so many decades?
Definitely my album with the Alien Shifting Gear. That was the kind of...
That's what I thought too.
Yeah, that was the one that kind of opened the doors, you know, so to speak.
Right.
So definitely Shifting Gear, you know, opened the doors, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
So before we get into Mad Invasion, because we're going to get into that, would you say that the Midnight Sun stuff Mad Invasion is similar to that, but taking it with a bit of a different twist?
No, I have to
disagree.
Now I'm getting warmed up. You know, I'm getting warmed up. I'm going to kick your ass now.
Go ahead.
Not at all. Midnight Sun was very... like you say, like Symphony X and Stratovarius and stuff like that, very fast. Midnight Sun is mega heavy.
Mm-hmm.
The tempos of the songs, the riffs, it's very basic contrast to Midnight Sun, who's very, very technical. It's technical. The drums, the keyboards, the bass, the vocals and stuff. Mad Invasion is more blues and heavy. So there's a big difference between Midnight Sun and Mad Invasion, I think, you know. The way Björn and Hal, right?
A little bit more like in the Sabbath vein of heavy, not the power metal vein of heavy. The old school British hard rock / heavy metal.
Exactly. Mm. Yeah, that's the big difference between Mad Invasion and Mad Invasion.
Mm. Well, let's talk about Mad Invasion. First of all, congrats on a new album. Just came out, Crack in the Sky, just last month, right?
Yeah, it was in mid-April, I think, it was released, yeah.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the band. This is your second album with Mad Invasion. But the band started probably almost 10 years ago, right? Back in 2016, you guys did a single?
Yeah, we did a single, and it kind of got dormant for a while, you know, because everyone was occupied in different eras. But then it kind of jump started a couple of years later. We did the first album, Edge of the World.
That was 2021.
21, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, right in the middle of the pandemic, right?
Yeah, pandemic and stuff. So Mad Invasion is a fantastic band and great songs and stuff like that. And Mickey D is playing, was a guest actually on the first album on a couple of videos.
Mm-hmm. We'll talk about the members of Mad Invasion, who's involved in the band.
Yeah, it's Björn Dahlberg on the guitars, Hal on guitars, keyboards. We have Mats Jepson on bass, and Mickey is playing drums on the second album, Crack in the Sky.
Mm-hmm.
He was a guest on the first album, a couple of videos, but he actually plays on the album, the new album, Crack in the Sky.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how would you, we talked about it a second ago, that you said Mad Invasion, you would describe that sound more as like a classic metal, you know, Little Black Sabbath in there. What other bands would you describe for people who maybe aren't familiar with the Mad Invasion sound? What would you say it sounds like?
Mad Invasion, like you said, Sabbath, you know, 70s hard rock with a new twist, so to speak, you know. Mm-hmm. The back to the roots, basically.
Yeah.
That's what Mad Invasion is about, you know, the hard riffs.
Yeah. Well, going to the new album, Crack in the Sky, it just came out last month. I mean, listening to the songs, like the first song on the album, I almost, just listening to it, and I was like, Hellbent for Leather, Judas Priest, like it had that feel.
You bastard.
Am I crazy?
No. We were inspired, Björn actually, who write the riffs, he was inspired on Hellbent for Leather on that one when he wrote that song.
Oh, good.
So you spot on.
Good. I'm glad. The second track, which is Crack in the Sky, the debut or the title track, very, very Sabbathy. The riffs remind me of Iommi, and it's that. So what about like a song like that? Was that's an influence of yours, or that's an influence of the guitar players? How does that come about?
Well, you have to remember, I come from Midnight Sun, who's extremely fast songs, you know, like that, you know.
Yeah.
And then suddenly I write songs with Björn and Hal, and it's very, very laid back, you know, like to gaff. And I was totally out of it because I was forcing it. I was ahead of the tempo all the time. So it took me actually quite a while to kind of lean back and get into the sound and get into the tempo and then got into the rhythm. So I actually had to go back and listen to a lot of Sabbath albums, Heaven and Hell, and Mob Rules, you know, the way Dio approached it, you know, to kind of lean back a little bit. Because I was very, you know, on top of things.
Yeah.
So that's a little bit about Crack in the Sky. It was a difficult song to record vocally.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, vocally, talk about, you mentioned Dio. I think that's a big influence of yours. Talk about some of your vocal influences.
Dan McCafferty from Nazareth, one of my absolute favorite singers of all time. Rod Stewart, early years, Faces. Paul Rodgers, of course, fantastic. David Coverdale, those kind of guys, you know. In the early years when I was a young kid, it was, of course, Steve Perry, Lou Gramm, guys like that, you know, but as I get older, it's more those guys who's taking more presence in my vocal influences.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Interesting. Now the new album, it just came out last month, but you guys kind of have been releasing singles, and I think you've done five singles from the new album so far.
Yeah.
Along with videos that accompany them. Talk about doing videos nowadays, 2025 in this era, because I mean, we're way past the whole MTV era and all that stuff, but how important is it for the band to get videos out there and for your singles?
I'm exactly like Tom. This is the digital era.
Yeah,
Spotify, and you have to release digitally singles and videos and stuff like that, so that's Hal's department, and they have a structure with the record company and Hal. They have worked out, like for instance the Beatles, they released 10 vinyl singles.
That's true.
And the album, so everyone bought the 10 vinyl singles and of course the album,
right?
It's basically the same, but it's digital. Mm. So actually, I don't know anything about that. I'm like Tom.
Don't feel I'm too like bad. Tom. Don't feel too bad. No. Neither do I.
No. The guys in the band knows. So that's important.
Well, no. I mean, I'm old school too. I mean, I'm in my mid-50s. But when you talk about that, it's like you don't see nowadays, you might get one or two songs that are thrown out before an album comes out. But you guys did five before the album dropped, which is very unique.
It's kind of, we wanted to be a little bit different, most bands doesn't release five videos on one album. They have one or two,
Sure.
Or five singles. We have five singles and five videos. So a little bit, to be a little bit different.
Yeah. Interesting. So now the new album, it was something that was, I guess, tell me if I'm wrong, but it seemed like it was a long time coming, because I look at the timeline on the band's website and it seems like the album was actually finished in late 23. Am I right?
I actually don't know if the album's, it is taken a while with the business aspect and our manager in the States and the Japanese record companies. So maybe the album was finished in 2023. I'm not quite sure. Mm-hmm. And we recorded videos and stuff after the album. So maybe it was finished in 2023. I'm not sure. Mm. 2024.
Okay.
Hal said it was 2024.
Okay. Hal set us straight. Thanks, Hal.
Yeah.
So, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. You go ahead.
So I was going to say, so the album's now finally out. What's the plans for Mad Invasion going forward? I know, you mentioned Mickey D, of course, Scorpion, Motorhead. Great drummer. Is he going to be involved with the band going forward as far as live shows?
Yeah, Hal is working on maybe we're going to do some festivals this summer, a couple of gigs and stuff. And of course, we have to adapt to Mickey's schedule with Scorpions, of course. And when he has the time off,
we can
schedule something together. So it all depends on how Mickey's schedule is and stuff. And Hal is working on that. So maybe some gigs this summer and maybe some festivals. I'm not quite sure.
Okay. Well, look, Mickey's got the never-ending Scorpions tour, it seems. Yeah. Right? The farewell that should have happened 10 years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
So where can people find out about the band? Is that madinvasion.com? Is that the best place?
I think so.
I know you're not a social media guy. You said you're not.
Madinvasion.com. Yeah, it's madinvasion.com.
Okay, great. Yeah. And can the album, is the album available to order through the website, or is it?
You can order the album through the website or Spotify or whatever, So it's all digital.
Okay. Well, it's funny because you talk about like the Spotify to digital stuff.
Tom, you're way quiet now. You're talking.
Well, this is the thing. I only buy physical copies. I have everything you've ever done in front of me here. Not only do I have them, but I have them on the Japanese presses.
Yeah, exactly.
So this goes back, and I've had this conversation with a lot of other artists. I'm 66, and I grew up in an era where I had to have the physical product because I got, from the time as a kid, I'd want to see the band members, were the differences in the band members, who produced
the studio, the lyrics.
The lyrics.
Like I'm so the same.
if you give me music and I don't have something to look at, I feel like naked. I can't make a connection.
No.
I want to see what the band looks like. I want to see if there are differences in the band members. I want to read the lyrics, mm-hmm. who produced it, who engineered it. So I need the physical copy. So maybe it's an age thing, but I know that it's going back. No. There's more younger people that are buying physical music now.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, I did want to ask you one or two other questions. Is there a release date for the Japanese CD yet?
I'm not quite sure. I think it will be maybe late this summer. I'm not quite sure. I have to check with Hal.
Okay. My other most important
thing is, I know you're looking for a bonus track. That's why you're
waiting. Of course, right.
You're looking for a bonus track, yeah?
Well, I mean, the Japanese are notorious for that. I can't tell you how many times over the years I would buy a copy of something, and then two months later it comes out in Japan with a bonus track, and I got to buy the CD again to get the bonus.
Yeah, exactly. I know how it is, man. I know.
So my last question to you is, Hal Marabell's name has come up. He's in the band. I've been a huge Bad Habit fan from the inception of the band.
Yeah.
Huge fan of his. How did you get this partnership with him?
Yeah, I've known Hal for many, many years. And like I said, it's a small community, the hard rockers. We know who we are, basically, you know, and who we want to work with and stuff. And when the Mad Invasion came up, we did the first single, and Björn asked me, should we ask Hal to join the band? Then maybe he can improve stuff, and you know, with his keyboards and his producing of stuff. Yes, of course, let's do it. And we tried it out, and it worked out great. You know, so that's how it came about that Hal joined Mad Invasion, because we basically know each other, all of our Swedish hard rock musicians.
Were you familiar with Bad Habit?
Yes, of course. You know, the Bax, the singer, and Sven Sinski. I recorded an album called Snake Charmer with Sven Sinski and Anders Johansson and Jens Johansson. Snake Charmer, many, many years ago.
We forgot to mention Snake Charmer.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, so Sven works with Bad Habit. So you know, we all know each other.
Okay.
Yeah, I know Bad Habit. I have all their albums, so it's great.
Yeah, now that they've been such a consistent band through the years. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. I mean, a little bit of changes in styles here and there, but if you look at them from the beginning to current, their last album, they've never put out a bad album.
No. I agree.
So anything else, Pete, that, you know, besides the new Mad Invasion? I know that's obviously brand new and you're focusing on that, but is there anything else that you've got maybe in the works, either solo material or anything like that down the line?
No, I'm totally focusing on Mad Invasion.
Okay.
So I don't have any things lined up, you know. I'm totally focused on Mad Invasion.
Okay, good.
Yeah. So
the Japanese aren't going to come and knocking at your door saying we want a solo album.
They try. Please do another solo album, blah, 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 blah. But I'm hardcore. No, it's Mad Invasion. That's it.
Excellent. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Is there anything else, Tom?
I'm good. I'm going to stop while I'm in a good spot here.
Yeah, cool. Cool, Tom.
Well, Pete, thank you. Thanks for talking to us today. We appreciate the time.
And, my pleasure.
Good stuff, some good stories. And everybody, Crack in the Sky, Mad Invasion, just released last month. Look for that.
Yep.
The band may be out doing some festival dates in Europe this summer and beyond.
Yep. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Pete. Take care. And bye-bye. And before we let you go, special thanks to Hal Marabell for setting this up and everything there.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be hitting him up for
he's the man.
I'm going to be hitting him up for a podcast on Bad Habit also.
I already told him.
So.
You do that, Tom.
All right.
That's
thank
cool.
you.
That's cool. Thank you, guys.
All right. Bye. Thank you. Take care.
Cheers.
Bye.
Bye-bye.